Good afternoon. This is an informal hearing of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Commissioner Julie Fedorchak joining us virtually. This is Montana Dakota Utilities case regarding the Kindred natural gas tariffs. And it is, it's case number PU23-294. Today is November 8th, 2023, and it's 2:18 p.m. I don't have any opening comments. Sherry, did you?
No, I do not.
Julie?
My opening comments are similar to the last one, so I'm doing this remotely because I'll be leaving shortly to get to the airport to go out to D.C. for a FERC hearing, and I wasn't able to be in the office for the hearing this afternoon. So be happy to do it remote. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, and we'll have everyone go around the room and state your name into the microphone, please, so we have it on the recording.
Brian Johnson, PSC staff.
Victor Shipp, PSC staff.
Allison Walden with Montana Dakota Utilities.
Larry Oswald with Montana Dakota.
Travis Jacobson, Montana Dakota.
Stephanie Bosch, Montana Dakota.
Okay, this is an informal hearing, so it involves only undisputed details. If any disputed facts develop, we'll have to wrap up and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant goes first in this case. Travis, Larry, who's leading it off?
I will.
Go right ahead. Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for this opportunity to come and discuss the case today. We've already begun the morning with some quick introductions. And so we are here to discuss Montana Dakota's application for authority to establish a new gas rate schedule for a Kindred expansion surcharge, rate 76. This rate is being proposed for the recovery of costs related to the expansion of natural gas service to and within the city limits of Kindred, North Dakota. The company has prepared a presentation to provide more detail. With that, I will turn it over to Mr. Oswald.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Excited to be here today to talk about getting natural gas to another community in North Dakota, Kindred. And as Allison indicated, you know, this is our filing for the surcharge expansion rate 76 to be recovered from the customers in Kindred within the Kindred city limits. So just kind of going back a little bit, we did file back in September of 2001 for a CPCN to serve the community of Kindred, and the commission granted that CPCN in March of 22. And Kindred, you know, the ability to get natural gas to Kindred is because of the new Wahpeton line expansion that's going to pass very nearby the community of Kindred. And in fact, the WBI did receive FERC approval of that in October of this year. So that's still moving forward.
I actually thought that was probably done a long time ago.
I think everybody was hoping it was going to be done a long time ago.
Okay.
So just kind of some quick facts here about the city of Kindred. I mean, as I believe you guys all know, it's located in Cass County. It's approximately 25 miles from the West Fargo-Moorhead metropolitan area. As of the 2020 census, there was about 900 population in Kindred, and Kindred is growing at 3.3%. In fact, they typically see 8 to 10 new homes being built in Kindred every year. And Montana, Dakota, and the city of Kindred did enter into a franchise agreement back in January of 22. What I'm showing now is kind of the map of the project and what we're planning to do. The area in green is the current city limits of Kindred. So that would be the areas that would be available for the surcharge as Kindred continues to expand. You know, a lot of these areas to the north, there's our agricultural fields at this point, but there is actually a new subdivision right north of, in that north where my laser pointer is at, and that's just north of the new high school that was put in. So the WBI line is actually coming down here on the other side of the airport, kind of in the middle of this section here, right where our green line and distribution will take off. That's where they'll put the town border station. And then WBI line will continue to the east and then south, making its way to Wahpeton. So as part of the project, we'll have to complete the low-pressure side of the TBS. WBI is part of the Wahpeton expansion line. We'll take care of the high side measurement of the town border station. We'll have to put in regulation relief, line heater, and then we'll extend 6-inch PE plastic into the community of Kindred, approximately 19,000 feet, which is shown in the green line. That's the 6-inch. And then we're going to have a short little piece of 4-inch on the north side. And then all of the blue lines are the 2-inch distribution mains that will go throughout the community and serve the homes and businesses.
The 4-inch, what is there just something up there that needs a little more but not 6-inch? Why is that little piece in there different?
You know, I'm not totally sure, Commissioner. You know, engineering kind of put that together. I don't know why they transitioned from 6 to 4. It's, you know, I kind of think it's the same thing. Why not keep going on with 6 as the community expands? But that's what they've penciled out so far.
Okay.
So as part of the project, we're expecting to have 259 residential customers in the first 5 years of the project. Year one residential, we're projecting 149 customers. And that's approximately 40% saturation in year one. And then growing to the 259 customers would be approximately 60% saturation. And we'd also have built in that we expect we would serve all the new homes that are being built each and every year, which is very typical. You know, if we have gas there, we're going to serve, you know, 98, 99% of the homes if natural gas is available when they build. And same with the commercial customers, 38 small rate 70 customers, 10 large general rate 70, and then one small interruptible, which happens to be the local elevator grain dryer in Kindred. That'll be their largest user in the community, largest single user in the community.
So you said a number that you expected for the first year in the residential. And I was just noticing it's different than on here, but I see this is for in 5 years. So now I missed it. What was your expected first year residential?
First year, we're expecting to have 149.
And so I don't have to do the math. What are you figuring? There's like 450 to 500 residences. You gave the 900 population, but how many?
Yeah, there's like 380 some, I believe.
Okay.
According to their water meters, is how we usually get that data. So if they have a water meter, what's on the residential, what's on commercial, that's typically how we get those counts. So, the total estimated cost of this project, you know, based upon the engineering design, is $2.1 million. We've calculated for the number of customers we expect in the five-year period that we could invest $1.1 million, leaving us about $950,000 that we propose to collect through the surcharge. The one thing that's a little bit unique to this is, you know, in the last legislative session, there was legislation passed that if you get natural gas to, you know, part of the infrastructure to serve natural gas to a community that does not currently have natural gas, you qualify for a 15-year tax exemption, state tax exemption on that. So as part of this, and as we modeled, I should say, we ran a new levelized annual revenue requirement calculation based on the not having that property tax for first 15 years of the project. And that resulted in about an additional $40,000 that we could invest underneath the MEI from what our currently effective MEI is.
Larry, can
yes.
you remind me how the MEI is calculated just on a high level?
Sure, Commissioner. essentially, we have, we calculate the number of customers and associated revenues with those customers or margin, whether, you know, for, so for residential customers, currently that's all in our basic service charge every month. And then in the commercial customers have a basic service charge and a per decatherm distribution delivery charge as well. That's part of the margin. And so we calculate what that annual margin is, and then we divide it by the levelized annual revenue requirement factor, or LAR, which we update and keep up to date every with every case.
And I can give you a shorter version, Julie, if you want.
Yeah, sure. Can you go back a slide to me?
The simpler way to say it is it's intended to say the basic service charge from the expected customers for that extension. Their basic service charges would cover the cost of that maximum allowable investment, assuming that they assuming that there's no other additional system costs that they that those new customers would be covering. That's kind of the intention of that. We have that across all of our different regular utilities.
Say that one more time, Victor.
So it's intended to come up with a number based upon the number and type of customers intending to connect to a system, how much the basic service charge that those customers would pay accumulates to in order to pay for the cost of the new investment necessary to serve them, assuming there's no additional invest, no additional costs that those customers need to cover. As a for instance, so if we have to extend the main line, but you don't otherwise need to add customer service personnel or build a new pound town border station or something along those lines.
So if you basically take what the service charge is for everybody already, the normal customers, and collect it from these customers in Kindred, and you come up with, that's the revenue from these customers, that's how much it would, the maximal allowable investment would be to serve them. And but then there's this gap. So that's where you were, the gap is where you have to get additional revenue from them, right?
Yes.
The cost to provide that service to that community.
And got it. Thank you.
When you said the expected customers, expected by in what time frame?
Within the first 5 years.
Okay.
And if there's more than that, then it's different. So it's a readjustment period.
Okay.
Or less.
Or less would be adjusted, yes. If more or less than projection could essentially the way with the rate 76 tariff that we proposed, if we get more customers faster or they use more natural gas, we could end the surcharge in less than 5 years. We're projecting it'll go for 5 year period based upon our projections. Or if for some reason cost came in higher, customers came in less, we may have to look at extending that surcharge past the 5 years in order to collect that shortfall that's not cost justified underneath the rate 120 tariff.
Okay. That was going to be my next question, so thanks for covering that.
So you evaluate, I mean, that data comes in monthly.
You know, gas prices and all that. So if you have a strong, all of a sudden, accelerated natural gas price, what do you do with that? I mean, as far as, like, for 3 months or whatever, and it's affecting that community, do you adjust it? When is that adjusted? So that...
So the cost of gas itself is adjusted on a monthly basis.
Basis, yeah. But if that's, when do you adjust that surcharge, though? I mean, you have up to for that 5 years. I'm sorry if I'm asking my question wrong.
Sure.
Yeah, the cost of gas isn't factored into that. It's only the margin piece.
Piece,
either
okay.
The basic service charge or any.
My mistake, yes.
Yep.
All right, let's see, we're on this slide. Moving on to the next slide. You know, so we kind of came up with the rate 76 tariff, which is a proposing that, you know, the surcharge rate is a provision underneath our existing rate 120, an option for us to look at. But understanding that we have that $950,000 that we need to collect from customers, and we either have to collect that up front or collect it through the proposed surcharge rate 76. And we're proposing the rate 76 to help alleviate that first cost. Hopefully that'll get more customers to sign up right away, because they're going to have a lower initial cost that they're going to have to provide. And then they can use those dollars to do the conversion in their home, converting from their existing fuel source to natural gas, because they will have conversion costs in their home. So kind of a summary of the proposed rate 76 charges. We're proposing an initial down payment component for each class. It's $250 for the residential rate 60 class, $500 for the firm general rate 70, 72, 74s, the large firm generals, which are rate 70, 72, and 74 as well, just the larger customers, $1,000, and then $1,500 for the interruptible. There will be an additional monthly customer charge on the bill for each class, $30 for the residential, $12 for the small firm general, $85 for the large, and $150 for the interruptible sales. The small and large firm general and interruptible sales will also have a per decatherm surcharge on top of the cost of gas, where the residential class will not. And when we modeled based upon the average volumes for residential and the small general altogether, it equates to that each customer class correlates to $4.09 a decatherm for all customer classes. So that's where we tried to keep it level for all customer classes by structuring that rate design based upon the average customer use. So underneath the rate, there was that minimum payment I talked about on the table. That's required at the time that they sign the application for service with us, and that's what we'll begin marketing. If rate 76 is proposed or approved by this commission, then we'll start marketing to the customers in Kindred, getting the customer application signed up, collecting the initial contribution, and getting everything put together to start construction in the summer of 2024.
So, Larry, throughout this process, how much of this has been communicated to the general population? I assume there were some kind of town meetings or something before maybe the franchise was ever entered into with the city, and it'd have been much more estimating. But has anything gone out to these people, or were you able to estimate this somewhat closely at the time? I'm trying to figure out how accurate I think your projections are for signups once they see this price.
We have not marketed the surcharge rate to customers yet. We have met with the city council. We laid out the surcharge rate to them. Here's what we're looking, here's how we're planning to come to market. I think it was well received by the city council. In fact, Jeremy Fisher with Montana Dakota, who's in the room, met with them just last week on this tariff. And we've had lots of conversations with customers and city leaders, over the years, as well as more recently. And there is a strong interest in natural gas. As far as the projections, typically when we go into a conversion area, that 40% is typically what we see in year one, and then growing over to 60% saturation. So the customer projections are based on what we've typically seen in conversion projects that we've done.
And are these surcharges pretty close to what's typical?
We haven't done the surcharge rates. Typically, we've done the upfront cash payment that's provided underneath our extension tariff, where the customers will pay their customer contribution upfront in either a lump sum or 25% down and no interest payment over 24 months, which is also provided underneath our extension tariff.
Gwinner had a similar expansion surcharge a number of years ago. I think it was a smaller amount for the residential class, like 20 to 25 bucks is in my mind.
For Gwinner Milner, it's 87 cents a day, and so it's about right around there. And then commercial customers pay $26.50 per contracted demand. So they enter into contracts and they state what their demand is, and that's applied towards that. So a little bit different structure, but for residential, it's similar.
So the 87 cents a day is pretty similar. Did they have the same down payment or anything close to that?
The city
paid their initial down payment, the 25% down, and then the customers paid the 24 months payment. I think it was around $50 a month for 24 months is what they paid. Their total contribution for the residential customer on top of the surcharge was around $1,700 for the connection charge. So significantly more than the $250.
Can I ask a question here? So have you guys looked at how long the, based on, you know, expected costs of, I'm assuming it's propane versus gas, how long the it would take the customers to pay off or for this to pay? What's that look like?
Yes, Commissioner, I've got a slide coming up here that'll show the expected savings for the customers. So if
perfect.
I
could
hold on that.
Sounds good.
And maybe I just add one thing in terms of communication to customers. You know, one of the things that we don't really want to do is get too far ahead of the commission and commission approval in communication. So it's always a balance, if you will.
Kind of jumping to the residential customer impact slide, the chart I have on the screen shows the expected annual cost for natural gas compared to the other competing fuels. Natural gas coming in at around $1,100. Now this is with the surcharge and based upon a three-year average of our cost of gas. Propane at current prices, a little over $1,500. And then propane and electric resistance together about $1,700. And fuel oil, you know, significantly higher at, or electric resistance, straight electric resistance, excuse me, $2,200, and then $1,400 for propane and an electric air source heat pump. So even with the surcharge, customers will be saving approximately $300 per year. And then once that surcharge is completed, you know, within the 5 years that we're projecting, they'll save an additional $360 a year. So, you know, almost $700 a year on natural gas over their existing fuel sources at a minimum. So that which that'll provide a very good payback to customers on the investment that they're making in getting hooked up to natural gas as well as their conversion costs. Similar with the small general, you know, natural gas is projected based upon the average customer use. We're just under $1,800 total bill with the surcharge. Propane and electric resistance is the most competitive, coming in at $2,800. So they're saving about $1,000 a year based upon that average customer volume. And with the large commercial customers, again, following the same trend, just under $13,000 a year for natural gas, you know, compared to propane and electric resistance at $17,500, so about $4,500 a year. They're saving even with the surcharge, and they'll save significantly more once the surcharge comes off. Kind of brings me to the summary slide. You know, this is an exciting growth opportunity for Eastern North Dakota. We're proposing to utilize a provision that's already provided for underneath our extension, natural gas extension tariff. To collect the amount of cost that's not cost justified underneath our extension tariff. And we feel that in the long run, this will, you know, expanding to Kindred will be a benefit to all customers in North Dakota.
I have a couple of questions. So in one of the slides you had mentioned, if anybody outside of the city limits wants to connect, they would use the standard rate 120 extension policy. So they would be hooked up to this system, but they would not be required to contribute to its cost?
To the surcharge. They wouldn't be part of the surcharge rate. They would have to stand alone, and they would have the costs associated with extending gas to them.
Why? Any other extension that MDU does, if a customer connects to that extension in the first 5 years, they have to contribute to it. Why would we do it differently in this case?
They would, depending, we look at what their cost is beneficial to the existing project, then they would participate in that project.
Not following that. So let's say you run gas service to a new development.
And
The customers within that development pay those costs for the over and above the maximum allowable investment.
Correct.
So let's just say there's 10 customers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, another customer in the housing development right beside it wants gas service. So you hook into that extension that went to that development to provide this customer service. Under your existing tariff, that customer would have to pay a contribution of 1/11th of the cost of that extension to serve the neighboring development. Even though those initial 10 already paid for it,
mm-hmm.
when the 11th comes on in the first 5 years, it's recalculated. And the 11th person pays 1/11th, the other 10 split up in a refund that person's payment. So I'm not saying that's what happens in this situation. I'm just wondering why this person who's using, who would theoretically, and we're talking about theoretical person, who's outside of the city limits of Kindred, would hook up to the system designed to serve this area and not have to contribute to its cost. Right. I'm not saying they need to pay for it themselves. I'm just saying if someone on the outskirts of town wants to hook up to this, they should pay for their extension.
Their extension.
And then they should pay this surcharge as well, as long as the surcharge is in place.
That, I'm trying to think through the extension on extension, because there's kind of different ways when a customer extends, off of an active main extension, if you will. And there's times where their cost could actually be a detriment to the existing project. And then that project stands alone by itself. And I'm trying to think of a good example to kind of explain that situation where that happens. So you're right. If there's a project off of an active main extension and it's beneficial to that existing project, then they're going to share in that cost. But if it's not beneficial, it would actually put more cost on that existing extension, then it stands alone.
In that example, I think their extension, so this theoretical person outside of the city limits who requires an extension of this system, they should be required to pay for that extension from this system. However, the system they're connecting to has a cost as well, and they should be required to pay for that as well. I guess that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to disadvantage anybody in this equation. I'm just trying to make sure that the right people are contributing to these things. And I pulled up a map of Kindred, and I don't see a whole lot of people who live on the outskirts of town. But
there's not a whole lot of them, but you're right. There could be, there's potentially a few businesses and whichever. But we kind of had to figure out where do we draw the line around the surcharge area, even though, there could be a customers that will extend to off of this system that would pay for their extension and stand alone, but wouldn't be part of the surcharge rate, is the way we've looked at it.
Sure. I think the standard extension policy addresses this is my, and maybe we just need to talk, if you guys want to take a look at the extension policy, we can talk offline, but that's my take. I've spent an inordinate amount of time over the years looking at this, and that's how I've read it. So take a look at it. Let's talk about it and we can unravel this.
Sure.
Before we move on from that, I don't have any other thoughts, but Commissioner Fedorchak, your portfolio, did you have anything else you wanted to add on that specific part?
No, but Victor, I think I tend to agree with Victor on this. So I guess I need a better explanation from the company about why new customers wouldn't be outside of that.
I mean, it's probably going to be very few and far between in this situation, but I think it is a good thing for staff and the company and you potentially as portfolio holder to work through a little bit. I don't think, is there anything about this that's pressing? Like, this doesn't have to be approved by a certain date, does it?
I don't know if there's that necessarily hard specific date. It's just Travis indicated, we really don't want to start marketing to the customers until we have the rate and get in front of the commission's approval on this. The sooner we have the approval, the sooner we can start marketing to the customers and getting the sign-ups we need.
Okay.
I think we can figure it out relatively quickly once we have a discussion. But one other question I did have it was kind of these two things in concert that kind of made me, what the hell is going on here? So we were just talking about this, the 6-inch lines. So you have the one coming from the town border station, then it tees off, goes south, goes north, and then it becomes a 4-inch up north there, where there's new developments going in and around Kindred. And then the 6-inch continues all the way to the outside of town.
Mm-hmm.
Why? There's absolutely nothing over there but a farm.
There's one farm over there, you're right. I think depending upon if that farm, which would be in city limits, wanted gas, we would have to run line over there. So they kind of projected that in the, to cover the existing structures, we've got to get out to that, but we'd have to have a line out there. Whether it's 6-inch or 2-inch, can be depending, because there is a farm that would be inside the city limits, I believe, right in this area, I believe. So I believe that's why they drew the line all the way out there and put that in their cost estimate. But once we get to know the number of customers, and this is similar to what we did in Gwinner-Milner, is we, if there was areas or pockets of customers that had no interest, we did not even put the main in front of that house or business. We were able to cut back some of it just to make sure that we could keep the cost is.
I don't think there are any farms in the city there that's based on my looking at the map.
There's not one?
But.
There's dryers down here.
Yep.
Whether we go all the way to the west with the 6-inch or whether we just make sure we get across the railroad tracks with 6-inch to accommodate future growth, I think it'd be important to get across the railroad with 6-inch and then we can make a decision based on.
Sure. Well, I mean, my thought simply is, if we only need 4 inches to serve where Kindred is expanding at the astonishing rate that a small town in North Dakota expands, then why are we spending all the money to run a 6-inch line to nobody? Especially when it has to cross under railroad tracks, I guess, to that point. I mean, that comes as a significant cost and challenges to cross under railroad rights of way. So it's more so a question of why.
I think, as indicated, we'll want to get the 6-inch across the railroad track, but it probably won't go all the way. As we build it out, it won't go all the way to the end of the city limits at this point in time because there's no customers to serve. And then, but there is some customers on the other side of the railroad track, the other side of the railroad.
And I did see that. There are some.
And I'm not sure on the engineering design why the 4-inch, as I indicated earlier, I'm not sure why the 4-inch is drawn in there at the end and they stopped on the 6-inch. It would seem to me that it would probably want to continue with that 6-inch because that's where the community is expected to grow on the north side of the high school.
And that's what it looks like on the map, too. I mean, that's the south side of the tracks for every other little small town. I mean, not in a disparaging way. Like, that's just how it seems to be developing out. I mean, the development is to the north, not to the west. So I don't disagree with running a line over to the remaining of those houses that are on the west side of those railroad tracks. I'm just wondering why we would run a 6-inch line to them versus a
I will say that if we need to cross the tracks to get to some customers that are there, That is a pretty big area. Someday in the future, if it develops, it seems to me as long as you're going through the trouble of crossing the tracks, I would at least go with 6 inches across the tracks just in case. I have to think that that short distance crossing the tracks, the difference between 2 and 6 inches would be pretty minimal. But yeah, I don't see really why it needs to go quarter of a mile. But.
Sure.
Yeah, if there's no customers over there, we wouldn't go that far.
Okay. And then that would impact how much your total investment is and all those kind of things in the true-up calculations. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, that's all I had. Sorry to go down those rabbit holes.
No problem.
It's a good point, though, because we do like to be consistent on these things with other types of surcharges. Julie, did you have any more questions?
Sorry, my mic didn't want to come off mute. No, I do not. Thank you.
Sherry?
No, I do not.
I do not either. Victor or Brian? Leaf? You haven't asked any yet. Okay, anything else the staff wanted to add?
Nothing.
Okay. Are there any objections to the evidence? And by evidence, I mean both the handout as well as the recorded oral testimony becoming part of the record?
No objection.
None from staff.
Okay. So the evidence will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record?
Nothing from the company.
Okay. With that, we are closed right on time, 5 minutes early. Thank you, everyone.